Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, your host, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today I'll be sharing some excerpts from a recent conference held in Germany. This conference, sponsored by the International Disability Alliance, Christian Blind Mission, and a few other international organizations, brought the focus on global health and persons with disabilities. So please take a listen and think of how we as Barbadians can improve our healthcare system to cater for our citizens with disabilities.
It's my pleasure to be here. So I'm going to introduce myself first. I'm Nujeen Mustafa, a Kurd from Syria. And as you can see, I use a wheelchair. I was born with cerebral palsy. It may shock you that I didn't have my wheelchair back at home. I got my first wheelchair when I first arrived in Germany. How I managed to get into Germany with a disability is a story for another time that we don't have today. Growing up, my family was always told that I needed physical therapy in order to improve the condition of my legs. There was a physical therapy center in Aleppo where we lived, but the problem is that it did not have a lift. So I had to climb up the stairs with the help of someone else. I only visited that physical therapy center in the periods of my life where it was affordable, and that wasn't always the case. Growing up, I had no conception of accessibility, inclusion, or equity. Accessibility for me meant having someone strong that would carry me down the stairs, put me in the back of a taxi, or to get me into the clinic or hospital when I got sick. What I've just described is the reality that many people with disabilities have lived through due to the lack of the inclusion of disability in the vision for healthcare systems. And I'm here today because I would like to see that changing. Enough talk about me. We have more important things to do today. Now it's my great pleasure to welcome our first speaker of the day, Dr. Arianna Hildebrand. Okay, this is going to be a mouthful. Director General for Global Health, Employment, Transformation of the Economy, Digital Technologies, Food and Nutrition Security, Federal Ministry of the Economic Cooperation and Development, BMZ. I invite you to join us on stage to give the opening statement.
So, thank you. Dear Nujeen, thank you for your words. There cannot be more important words than what you just told us. So, you know, there cannot be more important words than this. Thank you for this. Dear Nujeen, dear Pascal, thank you very much for the kind introduction and for giving me the opportunity to deliver this opening speech. And if I am too fast, please give me a sign. I will try to speak slowly, but give me a sign if it is okay. Dear participants and panelists, I would like to start by thanking the group of civil society organizations, namely the Christian Blind Mission, Special Olympics, 80 Scale, the Missing Billion Initiative, and the Clinton Health Access Initiative, for bringing the often neglected topic of disability inclusive health systems back on the agenda of this World Health Summit. I am glad that BMZ is sponsoring this session, because inclusion in health is a substantial part on our path to achieve universal health coverage. We need to base our health systems on the essential needs of people living with a disability. Otherwise, we will not be able to ever reach universal health coverage. people with disabilities currently represent up to 16% of the world's population. That is 1.3 billion people worldwide. They often face more complex and urgent health needs and at the same time experience great barriers to access the care they need, and we have just heard this very impressively. It is an unacceptable reality that even today, people with disabilities live 10 to 20 years less. And it's crucial to recognize that these lives are not cut short because of the disabilities themselves. They are cut short due to limited access to solid healthcare systems. And this is, thank you. This is a reality that we cannot accept. Therefore, I'm very happy that today we are raising awareness and are discussing with stakeholders from different sectors how we can make health systems more inclusive. Let's acknowledge a challenging reality. Our efforts towards achieving the SDGs are still not sufficient. This is also caused by our insufficient ability to fully integrate activities that address the needs of people with disabilities. Now, a few words about the role of my ministry with a very long name. BMZ is easier to remember. Germany is already a major contributor to global health efforts. We investigate significantly in building strong and resilient health systems worldwide. And we will intensify our efforts in designing disability-inclusive health systems even more. In the beginning of next year, we will include a marker, a so-called marker, for disability-inclusive projects in German development cooperation. This sounds technical, but it is an important tool that will enhance our ability to monitor and evaluate our projects, ensuring they are inclusive in all their different dimensions. Ladies and gentlemen, the high-level meeting on universal health coverage and the corresponding political declaration at the United Nations General Assembly in September renewed our commitment to global action. The new political declaration marks important steps forward when compared to the previous one. Let me give you three examples. It entails strong and clear language on health inequalities experienced by persons with disabilities. It calls to ensure availability and access to health services for all persons with disabilities. And it puts emphasis on primary health care, the need to bring health services closer to where people live and make them more affordable. It is now our shared responsibility to turn words into action. This applies to the global health community, but also to national governments and local institutions. Ladies and gentlemen, 2025 is going to be a very important year as we will come together for the Global Disability Summit. I'm proud that Germany, together with the government of Jordan, and the International Disability Alliance will host the Global Disability Summit in Berlin. And I promise you this, we will convene a powerful alliance of global, national, and regional stakeholders to create a strong momentum for disability-inclusive development and humanitarian action. And everyone, governments, civil society, private sector, academia, is invited to submit ambitious commitments for our common objective of advancing disability inclusion. Now, I would like to thank the organizing team for their great efforts to make this session truly disability inclusive. For example, by having a sign language interpreter in the room. applause for our interpreter. Thank you. Thank you very much. This illustrates we're not only talking about inclusion, we live it. People with disability should participate in the design and monitoring of health services and programs. They should be the leading voices of their own agenda. Thank you for your attention.
Dr. Hildebrandt, thank you so much for these words. Really, really powerful statement, and your expressed commitment from Germany is really, really encouraging. And I do believe that we're seeing a growing momentum towards greater inclusion, which is very encouraging. We're going to now dive into our first interactive session. So for this, you'll need to activate your Mentimeter. So if you all have your phones or your tablet, you can access the Mentimeter. I think you've got the code on your chairs. It's up there as well. Takes a few seconds. So while you get that up and running, let me introduce the session lead for this section, Professor Anna Cooper. Professor Cooper is the co-founder of the Missing Billion Initiative and the co-director of the International Center for Evidence in Disability at the LSTMH. Professor Cooper, the floor is yours.
So, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here today in what we think is the first session on disability at the World Health Summit, which is very exciting. Now, as I was introduced, I'm a professor in a university, so I like data and I like tests, and I'm going to set a few for you here. So hopefully people have looked at the first question, which I'm going to read out now, which is, how many people experience disabilities in the world? So is it 1 in 6, 1 in 10, or 1 in 20? And I'm seeing the answers coming up. So this is a little bit of a test for how awake people are and also how much people were listening in the previous sessions. I will tell you afterwards what you get if you get a good grade. And as you can see, it's 1 in 6. So the latest evidence from the WHO shows that there are 1.3 billion people with disabilities. That's 1 in 6. Now, disability is very, very diverse. It can include people with physical impairments, with hearing impairments, intellectual, sensory, psychosocial. But what binds people with disabilities is the barriers faced in society, the personal barriers, the accessibility barriers, including barriers with respect to accessing healthcare, which were just described by Nugene. And because of that, it prevents people with impairments participating on an equal basis with others, so that there's exclusion. And that is why we're here today, because there are 1 in 6 people with disabilities globally, and there are widespread difficulties accessing healthcare. So, question number 2. Which of the following statements is correct? So, people with disabilities are 2 times more likely to have HIV or AIDS. 50% of people with disability cannot afford healthcare. Less than 50% of children with multiple impairments are fully vaccinated, and 10% of people with AT have the AT they need in low-income countries. So which of those following statements are true? So are people starting to enter in? I'm going to give it a couple of minutes. We think so. Okay, well, the answer is it was a trick question, again, to see if people are awake. All of them are true. So all of those statements are true. So people with disabilities are more likely to have HIV. They're very likely to find healthcare unaffordable, and that creates barriers to accessing the care they need. So things like coverage of vaccinations are lower, coverage of family planning is lower, as well as coverage of AT. So few people, especially in low-income countries, have the AT that they need. And because of those barriers and because of the lower access to healthcare of people with disabilities, they also often experience worse outcomes. So we've seen a worse outcome in terms of HIV/AIDS, but it was also introduced earlier that the worst outcome of all, that people with disabilities have double the mortality rates of others in the population, which translates to a life expectancy gap of 10 to 20 years. And we saw that vividly during the COVID pandemic, where people with disabilities were 2 to 3 times more likely to die from COVID, but people with intellectual disabilities were up to 8 times more likely to die from COVID. So question number three. So unfortunately, we've had a little bit of a spoiler earlier in this answer, but the question remains, 2.5 billion people need assistive technology worldwide. Do you need assistive technology too? So is the answer yes or is the answer no? So we're seeing a lot of yeses, but quite a lot of noes. So I'm going to go on to the follow-up question, which is, do you wear glasses? And I'm going to say here glasses or contact lenses so that I can be in this group as well. So we see a greater number of people have already said that they need glasses, that's 60%, as opposed to the proportion who said that they needed AT, which was 54%. And as Pascal introduced earlier, AT assistive technologies is very broad. So it includes glasses, but it can also include hearing aid, wheelchairs, assistive walking devices and so on, but also things like your mobile phone, which can really help in all sorts of aspects of life. And I'm just going to illustrate how crucial AT is with a personal story for my life. So I have 3 children, and the youngest of whom has been quite slow to read. And his sisters were way ahead of him, and he wasn't reading. And we were thinking, well, he's very young, and he missed all that school because of COVID, and maybe he's not that bright, but he's terribly sweet. And we took him to be tested, and he has very poor vision. And so we got him +4 glasses, which is very high, and his life was completely transformed. So not only his reading, but his physical confidence, his playing football, his running around has vastly improved. And every morning, the first thing he does is reach for his glasses and put them on because they're so crucial for his life. And there are so many children like him around the world who do not have those assistive devices, who don't have the glasses they need, and therefore are not learning to read. So many people with disabilities require assistive technologies, but actually it's much broader than that. And overall, we've said already that there are 1.3 billion people globally with disabilities, but 2.5 billion people who need assistive technologies if we're looking at this much broader group. And that number is really rising rapidly as the population is growing and aging. So that's why I'm representing the Missing Billion, which is about inclusive health and access to healthcare for people with disabilities. But we work very much in partnership and together with AT Scale because of the recognition of how critical that is for people to access not just healthcare, but to fully participate in all aspects of life. So thank you. I can say that you've passed the test, and the prize is that we can then move on to the next bits of the agenda. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Professor Cooper, for sharing this very valuable information. Data may be boring, but it's necessary and important. We will now take a few minutes for a fireside chat with Barbara Lejuvo. Barbara is a Special Olympic Health Messenger, and I'm going to ask her a few questions about her experience accessing healthcare in Zimbabwe, where she lives.
Inviting me and also giving me the opportunity to speak and also giving the opportunity to represent my fellow athletes. The Ministry of Health has introduced the Assisted Medical Treatment Order, AMTO. This is AMTO is a letter given to people with disabilities and elderly people so that they can get free treatment at the government hospitals and clinics. AMTO letter is requested through the Department of Social Services and through the Department of Social Services. When you get the AMTO letter, your health card will be stamped a red sticker. The red sticker means you will not stand in long queues and you will get fast treatment. Thank you.
Okay, this sounds like a very good example. Can you share what other changes you would make to the health services to make it even more accessible to people with disabilities?
I have three suggestions I would like to change in the health systems. The systems and services, the training of the health workers, and self-advocacy. The systems and services must be easier to access. With AmTOLATOR, if you don't have the AmTOLATOR, you could not get free treatment at the hospitals. The AmTOLATOR is renewed every time when you get to the clinic. If AmTOLATOR is a reusable card, the challenges will be fewer to access the health system. There is need of awareness and education to people with disability and elderly people on how AmTOR works.
Would you like to tell us more about the training of health workers?
The health workers must be trained on how to serve people with disabilities. It will be easier if health workers trained to work with people with disability, especially people with intellectual disability like me. In my case, I went to the clinic and when I got with health conditions, when I got there, I was given contraceptive pills which I did not requested for. When I get home, I was so confused. I couldn't go back. I didn't have any confidence to go back and ask questions on how did you give me this contraceptive pills I did not request it for. In my story shows that there's need of self-advocacy. There is need of self-advocacy. Self-advocacy, it is important and it enables people with disability to be empowered to ask questions and also included in the conversations. In the conversations about our health. Self-advocacy, it is also important to people with disability. Self-advocate, it is necessary for inclusive health. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara, for your very powerful words.
Thank you, Barbara, for really those insights. And it's always so powerful and eye-opening to hear from people with lived experience what is happening on the ground. And I think your message about self-advocacy is really an important one. And as much as we need to make sure systems are working, this aspect of self-advocacy is really, really, really critical. Let's move on to the next bit of our session, which is our first panel discussion around the change that we'd like to see happen globally. And I'd like to welcome to the front of the room Dr. Alarcos Cieza, Unit Head, Blindness and Deafness Prevention, Disability and Rehabilitation at the World Health Organization, as well as Frederick Msigala, Advocacy Officer, Comprehensive Community-Based Rehabilitation, Tanzania, a CBM partner. Frederick. As we just heard from Dr. Hildebrandt, just a few weeks ago, a high-level political statement was agreed in New York around universal health coverage, as well as around pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. And the good thing about these statements is that they did include strong words around the inclusion of people with disabilities, older people, and access to assistive technology. I'd like you to both tell us why you think this is so important and what it means for your organizations or for global health actors. Alorcos, let me turn to you first.
Okay. Thank you, Pascal, and thank you also, Nadine. Let me start why it is important. And it has been already been touched on it, but to emphasize it. The Declaration of Universal Health Coverage is telling to the world that countries will only make progress towards universal health coverage when the barriers that persons with disabilities experience are addressed. And it does not matter whether it is barriers at accessing health promotive services, preventive services, treatment, rehabilitation, or palliation. So it is really a requirement that those barriers are addressed in order to progress towards universal health coverage. If we look at the Declaration on Pandemic Prevention, Preparedness and Response, the significance is that the world officially has really recognized how devastating COVID-19 was for persons with disabilities, and again, that the specific needs and requirements of persons with disabilities need to be considered in pandemic prevention, preparedness, and especially response. And of course, these declarations built on a lot of work and a lot of advocacy that has been done towards it. It also builds on a lot of evidence. And it is recognized, the evidence that came up from the Global Report on Health Equity for Persons with Disabilities that the World Health Organization recently launched. And it builds also on to other resolutions, like a resolution that changed the agenda on disability at WHO, that is the resolution on the highest attainable standard of health for persons with disabilities. So in terms of the significance of the importance, but now let me emphasize what it means, because declarations are not legally binding documents. However, declarations and UN declarations really express the commitment of the international community. It's an expression of really what the international community is committed to. For that reason, they have a huge power in terms of advocacy tools, but also in terms of accountability tools. And accountability not only for governments, because again, is really about the global community commitment, the commitment of the global community towards, for example, universal health coverage. So we can make accountable the global community, whether it is the government, whether it is the private sector, whether it is the pharma industry, whether are donor entities, whatever it is. And I think this moral force that declarations have, and through it then this accountability force, is what needs to be used much more. Because still, we need to recognize that in disability, there is a huge gap between political commitment and action. It is very easy to say to disability, yes, 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 we commit to, and then there is not action. So for that reason, this declaration is absolutely fundamental to make really the global community, especially in terms of the universal health coverage, but also in the one on the pandemic, really to
requests accountability. And just to mention in terms of the way forward, because this declaration requests the Secretary General to present a report next year on the progress that we have done in terms of universal health coverage. So it will be important to reflect, unfortunately, how little progress we have done so far in terms of addressing the barriers that persons with disabilities experience when really countries are moving towards universal health coverage. And then again, we will have the opportunity, and I think the work of the whole advocacy of disability, of the disability community will be needed for the high-level meeting on universal health coverage in 2027, that also is requested and is mentioned in the declaration.
Thank you for listening to Visions today, and I want to encourage you to spread the word and really support our citizens with disabilities. Remember, you can reach me on 1246-269-9660 or on 1246-430-7300, or you can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. So until next week, be safe. Thanks for listening.